for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, if you would take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Mark chapter 5, we'll be considering this morning verses 21 through 43. It's an extended section of Scripture. You may know in your life experience times when we are waiting upon the Lord to work. And it seems that the Lord is delaying. He is delaying. Maybe he has begun a work and we are waiting for him to bring that work to completion. Maybe we are pleading with him. We are calling out to him to do a work in us or in our circumstances. Maybe you have known illness that has plagued you for some time, and you are waiting upon the Lord to grant you relief and healing. Perhaps it's a loved one or a child who is not walking with the Lord, and you are waiting upon the Lord to turn that child's heart back to him. Perhaps as we look at our own lives and we see that the Lord is doing a work in us, and yet we are waiting on him to sanctify us, to complete that work in us that he has already begun. And we wonder why it is that he seems to delay. What is he doing? Why does he tarry? Why does he delay in that work? We may be tempted to ask, is it because he is not powerful enough to bring that work to completion? Or perhaps he's become busy with something else. Maybe he doesn't hear us. Does he love us? Does he care for us? Why is it that he tarries? Why does he delay in working out his will in our lives, in answering the prayers that we entreat him with? One of the things I love about Scripture is it doesn't shy away from reality. It doesn't shy away from asking and answering the hard questions. We may shy away from them, but Scripture helps us to set our expectations correctly for the Christian life. And so Mark, in this portion of the narrative, walks through these questions. Jesus is delayed. Why? What is he doing? We're going to look at those questions together this morning. But let's turn our attention to our text. This is Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but is sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the living God. May he add his blessing to it. Would you pray with me? O Lord God in heaven, we come before you this morning. We come to you, the author of life. We come to you, our Redeemer. We pray that you would bless your word to us by your Spirit this morning. O Lord, help me, your servant, to bring your word to your people. Open our eyes and our hearts that we would see and know Jesus Christ better and receive him by faith for your glory and our good. Amen. Well, Jesus, having just come back across the Sea of Galilee, he's been on the far side to the land of the Gadarenes, where he has cast out the unclean spirit from the demoniac. Having accomplished that mission, he gets back into the boat. He crosses to the near side of the sea. And there's a great crowd that meets him there. As I was reading the greater context in the past few weeks, it's striking how large the crowd is. There are those that are from Tyre and Sidon, those who have come up even from Jerusalem, the scribes and the Pharisees. It's a great crowd that have come to see Jesus. And as he begins to teach the crowd, this ruler from the synagogue, Jairus, comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus and begins to beg and entreat and implore him. And this is remarkable. The ruler of the synagogue surely understood and knew that there was already opposition to Jesus Christ coming from the Pharisees and the scribes who were up from Jerusalem. Likely, he understands that there is some of his reputation on the line, and yet he comes to Jesus and falls at his feet and begs him. This is a common word that has appeared throughout Mark's narrative, especially in chapter 5. The unclean spirits have begged Jesus. The people of the Gadarenes have begged Jesus. The man who he has healed and cast the unclean spirit out of has begged Jesus. And now Jairus comes and he begs and entreats Jesus. And one of the points that Mark wants us to see is that Jesus is full of power and authority. Here, a ruler, somebody who is in an elevated position, comes and falls at the feet of Jesus and entreats him. Why does he do that? Well, he does that because he is at a point of desperation. He's at a point of desperation. His daughter is sick to the point of death. And so in love for his daughter, in desperation, he throws aside the risk of ridicule and comes and implores Jesus to lay his hands upon his daughter and heal her. And we see the compassion of Jesus as he goes with Jairus. And as he goes, the procession is interrupted. The story is interrupted. Jesus is going with Jairus. There's a great crowd around him. But this woman who has suffered greatly, Mark tells us. She has suffered much under many physicians. She has suffered long. 12 years she has sought a cure. 12 years she has lived with this disease, this malady, this illness. For anyone who has suffered under chronic illness, a prolonged illness, you know that when you have lived 12 years with an illness and have been seeking a cure and not finding one, that it shapes your life. You can think of this woman going from physician to physician. Mark tells us she didn't even find comfort from this physician. She suffered much under them. Treatment after treatment, examination after examination. And after every trial, pronounced unclean yet again. And so, like Jairus, who comes in desperation to Christ, she comes with desperation as well. She comes when she's at a point where there's nothing else to be done for her, humanly speaking. She's tried all the possibilities. And so she comes clandestine and touches his garment. She's immediately healed. She's immediately healed. 12 years of searching for a cure, and one touch, and she's healed. I think we can pass over that quickly, can't we? It's just a short phrase, a short note that Mark gives us, but it's profound. Nothing could cure her until she comes into contact with Christ Jesus. This is surely a miracle. Now, whenever we read of the miracles that are performed by Christ Jesus, we should understand that the miracle, while it affects the person, while it affects time and space, that the miracle really happened in history. Yet Christ also has a greater meaning, a greater purpose, a greater end for that miracle. If you think about the healings that Christ performed, the miraculous healings he performed, those people who were healed, they would become sick again. Peter's mother, who had a fever and he touched her and she was made well, she would become sick again one day. And one day she would face death. And so the healing, while it provides relief, and it is compassionate, there's a greater purpose beyond it. And in the context here of Mark, the way that he has arranged the narrative that he is recording for us, one of the things that Mark wants us to catch is that here is Christ Jesus, who is full of power and authority. He is full of power and authority. In the end of chapter 4, Christ gets into the boat with his disciples. They cross over the sea. What happens? A storm arises. The disciples are not able to manage the power of creation, the power that's seen there, but Christ calms the storm by the word of his mouth. He has power over creation. And then, in the beginning of chapter 5, we've already talked briefly about Christ casting out the unclean spirit, and the spirits beg of him, and he grants them their request to go into the pigs, right? But what do we see by that? We see that Christ has power over the darkness. He's pushing it back, and he has the power and authority to do that. And here we see that he has power to heal this illness, really an effect of the curse of sin that has affected this woman for 12 years. She's been 12 years dying, as it were. 12 years not getting better, but getting worse, Mark tells us. And Christ has the power and authority to heal in a way that no human effort could heal. And as we reach the end of our section, we'll get there in a minute, we're going to see his power over death and over the human soul. Christ is revealing something of himself, namely, in this case, his power and his authority. And so if we return to the question that we began with, why is it that Christ delays? One of the reasons that he delays is to reveal something of himself, something that we would not have seen before. He reveals his power. We're going to see that in greater clarity here in a moment. Let's continue on in our narrative. Jesus could have kept walking, right? But he doesn't. He stops. He stops and he turns to the crowd and he inquires who it was who has touched him. And his disciples ask him, why would he wonder at this? And yet, again, Christ has a greater purpose here, greater than just healing the woman. He has a purpose of revealing something of himself. And so the woman comes forward so that the miracle would be witnessed not only by Christ Jesus himself internally, not only by the woman herself knowing she is healed, but would be witnessed by the crowd, that they would see Christ, that they would see something of his power, but that they would see something else as well, because he interacts with her. He interacts with her. She came to be healed physically. What did she get? She got an interaction with the Son of God. She comes trembling. She comes with fear. Why fear? I think that she doesn't know Christ well yet. What will be his reaction? But she also comes knowing that she has come in contact with great power. And so she comes trembling and falls down before him and tells him the whole truth. And those around, I'm sure, heard. Jesus responds to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. In the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus' words to her are, take courage, daughter. Take courage, daughter. Hear the tenderness of the Savior. Hear the tenderness of the one who is full of power and authority. Notice that this woman has faith. She has faith to approach Jesus Christ. And yet, if we were looking at her faith, analyzing it from a theological standpoint, we may say, well, it doesn't seem to be a very strong faith. She's trembling and fearful. And yet Christ has regard for her faith. He has regard for her faith, and he calls her deeper. He calls her deeper into faith in him. We're going to see that in his interaction with Jairus as well. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. So we see something else that Christ does as he delays. The delay is not accidental. The delay is not that he's forgetting. It's that he has a greater purpose beyond what we have. He has a greater vision beyond what we have. He's doing something greater. He's revealing himself in ways that we have not yet known him, to a greater depth. He's calling us to greater faith. And he's doing it so that the world and his people may see him and know him. Now, we can imagine, if we return to our narrative, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? I don't know if you've ever been around somebody who talks a lot, and it's hard to get a word in edgewise. And perhaps you've had the experience, as I have had, that I'm on the way to do something. Maybe I've gotten an appointment I need to get to, but I've entered into a maybe a one-way conversation with this individual, and the minutes are ticking by, and as the person talks and delays me, the more anxious my heart becomes. You know that feeling welling up inside of you, and you try to stuff it back down and be patient. Or a similar scenario, maybe you haven't had that experience, but maybe you're stuck in traffic and you're trying to get to the appointment and you just can't seem to get through this traffic light. That's a common experience on Route 3, right? And there's that anxiety that begins to well up inside of us. And maybe in our more sanctified moments, we think, well, all of these things are sovereignly ordained by God's hand and the timing as well. And yet there's still that anxiety that arises. And so we can imagine this father who is there. He's asked Jesus to come. Jesus is coming to lay his hands on his daughter. And then there's this delay. And Jesus takes his time. He's not rushed. We can imagine the anxiety that may have welled up in this father. And then the news that makes his blood run cold, that his daughter has died. Don't trouble the teacher further. But what does Jesus do? He calls Jairus to faith. Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. He calls Jairus to a deeper faith and trust. They go on to Jairus' house. The mourners are already present. Just like the woman had nothing more that could be humanly done to cure her ailment, so this little girl had nothing else that could be humanly done for her other than to hire the mourners to grieve her. But Jesus comes and says, why are you mourning? Why are you making this commotion? She's only sleeping. He puts them all out. And he takes some disciples, the mother and father, and he goes in and he addresses this girl who is dead. Not with grand incantations, not with pomp and fanfare, but with the word of his power, he calls her to arise. One who is dead. One whose soul and body have already been separated, and he recalls her spirit. And he has the power and the authority to do that because he is the creator and the sustainer of life. Church, this is our Savior. This is our King. This is the one who has power over all creation. This is the one who has bound the strong man and plundered his house. This is the one who has all power over our hearts, our bodies. Jairus came for healing, but he got resurrection. The woman came for healing. She got an encounter, a conversation with Christ, the Son of God. They came in faith. They came with fear. When Jesus delays, It's not by accident. It's not that he's lost track of Jairus and his daughter. It's that he has a greater plan in mind so that his power would be seen in greater ways, so that those he interacts with would be called to a deeper faith and trust in him. You know, in 2020 and 2021, there was a slogan that was found on many t-shirts that said, "Faith over fear." Perhaps you've seen that slogan. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think that at times it gives us an expectation that we must come to Christ with a perfect faith and no fear. And that would be lovely, perhaps. But how often is our faith mixed with fear? We come trembling. We come in desperation. We come in hope. But with fear. In Christ, in his mercy, in his compassion, has regard for that faith, but calls us deeper into faith with him, faith in him. Perhaps you have heard someone say, "Well, I have the mustard seed of faith." That's great. It's good to have a mustard seed of faith. But the mustard seed is meant to grow. It's not meant to remain a mustard seed. Christ calls us to growth in him. He calls us to greater faith in him. So what about you this morning? There were many in the crowd. Remember, it was a large crowd. There were many there who had come to see the teacher. They had come to see this Jesus. But they did not come in faith. They did not touch Christ in faith. Are you here just to see a spectacle? Or are you here like the woman, in desperation, knowing that there is no hope for you and for me apart from Christ Jesus? That the sin that wraps itself around our heart, the corruption of our own hearts, can't be overpowered by any human strength. We need Christ. We need his power. Christ calls you to come to him in faith. Perhaps you're in a point in life where you are wondering that Christ is delaying. You're wondering that you have a child, perhaps, who isn't walking with the Lord, an illness that you've been struggling with for a long time, and you wonder at Christ's delay. Take heart. Take heart, brother. Take heart, sister. Christ's delay is intentional, and he's doing something that's beyond what you are thinking, what you're imagining. that he might reveal something of himself, that he might call us into deeper faith in him. Trust him. Look to him. Rest in him. Would you pray with me? Lord God in heaven, we come before you, and we are so thankful that your thoughts are above our thoughts, your ways are above our ways. We're so thankful, O Lord, that when you delay, it is for our good. It's intentional. You have a plan, and it is good. We're so thankful, O Lord, that you call men and women and children to faith in you. Lord, we pray that even in our lives, in our midst, in these days, that you would work your will in such a way that in future years we could look back and say, only God could have done this. Strengthen each heart that is here, that they might rest in you, Christ Jesus, you who are full of power and authority and might, and who exercise that power in righteousness. We are thankful that you are full of tender care for your people, that your heart is gracious and merciful. And so be with us now by your word and spirit in the coming week, that your word would be applied to our hearts for your glory and for our good. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.